and you begin to learn and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and begin to find yourself in that. Now you're a middleman because there's somebody coming after you. Everywhere there's one man, and he's in the middle.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on August 20th, 2025, and is titled One Man. So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
I'll finish up. For if by one man, one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Reign in life. To rule as a king or a queen, to be predominant or prevalent. That does not mean that Christians are going to rule over other people, but you yourself will rule over the adversities in your life. You'll rule over the sin that comes to attack your home. You'll rule over sickness and death. You'll rule. You'll rule over those things like depression and oppression and all those different things. That God has given you the kingship, kingship in his kingdom. Revelation 1 said, I will make you a kingdom of kings and priests. The book of Ephesians says that Jesus Christ was elevated to the highest place of supremacy. And right there in the same text says that we are seated there with him. You were not brought in this world to get your butt handed to you. You're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. But we can't rely on our own understanding, and that includes your religion. Have to listen to the voice of God. Do what we've been talking about. You got to quit believing in God and start believing God. Believe in him. You can do this. You know how come I know you can do this? Because if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, if you submitted yourself by faith to Jesus Christ, you are now justified. You're clean. You're good. Curtis talked about it here last week. Him and his cowards. But if you'll stay in a repentant mind and self-reflect and always trying to do, God's got enough grace. There's enough latitude for you to be a human. Just always remember he's still God. And we can begin to harmonize together in that. And how do you do that? Because once you're justified, you will be sanctified, set apart for the purposes of God. What is your purpose? To be the middle. That's it. Believe God and be the middle. What else are you going to do? I don't care how you be the middle. Don't care where you be the middle. Don't care if you do it with a guitar. Don't care if you do it with a shofar. Don't care if you do it with a traveling ministry. Don't care if you do it by auctioneering a horse sale or putting in windows. Don't care. Be the middle. You're now sanctified, set apart for the purposes of God. How do you know you're sanctified? Because you've been baptized. You've been baptized. You've been immersed. You've been drenched in the Holy Spirit. You are now clothed in Christ. The very power of God has now moved into you and come upon you. You have entered into a kingdom. Not as a pauper, not as a doormat, not as a visitor. You entered into the kingdom as a king or a priest. Or both. And the power from on high has come upon you. And you can now do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives you strength. But let me tell you, You can be strong and still be a dummy. That's why it takes the whole text of the Bible. You can be a praying motor scooter, and if you don't have it, if you got the same amount of wisdom as a fool, your results will be the same as a fool. You got to hear God, you got to believe God, and then be obedient to God. And if you can be obedient to God through obedience, grace will spread. Through disobedience, sin. And you're the guy in the middle. I'm the guy in the middle. So he says right here, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, not justification of death. Not justification of death. And so much of our Christianity is about dying. I'm not planning on it. Y'all planning on it? I'm planning on living. How many of y'all have made plans for tomorrow? Yeah. Having your funeral, is that part of the plan? No, it's about living, isn't it? Huh? Dang right. I like living. Y'all like living? Since I met Jesus, I really like living. It's the gift. It's a gift. And living justified, man, that's it. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Who's in charge of the spread? When I went to learn all the bad habits I had, I didn't go to the bar first. I didn't go to the bar to learn. I went to the bar because I already knew. What I'd already found out on my own, I thought might be fun if it was a bigger crowd. I'm making a good point here. What I learned from the men around me, I was now able to put in practice. You see, that's how sin spreads. You don't have a group meeting to learn how to sin. Yet we have big group meetings to learn how to be righteous. You really want to learn, teach somebody how to be righteous? See who's under your nose. Maybe you didn't have anybody in your life who went first. Maybe you did kind of find your way into the group and start figuring out this Jesus thing a little bit. Well, guess what there, Slim? Now you're the first guy. Best I can tell, I was the first man in my whole family to get saved. Somebody's got to go first. Doesn't mean you're going to get it all right. I got saved, then I got religious, then I got righteous, then I got self-righteous. I did all kinds of things to screw this deal up as bad as you could do it. Tick my whole family off. But I kept learning about God's grace, and I kept growing in His grace, and I kept trying. I never did give up. I couldn't shut up. I just couldn't shut up about Jesus. So I went first. Later on, my dad, I believe, came to know Him. Not because he was going to church. He'd been going to church. He'd been handing them bulletins out over in front of that little old Methodist church since Moby Dick was a minute. I mean, I think if he didn't show up to hand out the bulletins, they'd just shut the door. Didn't know how to read the Bible. The only thing he knew about a sermon was, hey, if it can be a football game, I'm going to get to rolling here. He wasn't shy about it. And then I'll never forget one day. We because they knew I was saved and they knew I knew Jesus. They didn't have any other options. The change was too drastic. And all of a sudden they sent one of them little traveling whatever's they did around that little outfit. They give them people over in that little old town, they give them a new preacher every 12 minutes. They'd even give them one that's so old and retired they couldn't read the Bible or nothing, just got out of jail or whatever it was. I mean, it was a disaster. And finally, they finally got one bad enough to get everybody's attention. And my mom and dad called me one day and they said, what are we supposed to do? I'm glad they went through three or four of them before they asked me that question, because before that day, I had not grown enough in the grace of God to be the middle. And I said, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. I said, all you got going on, you got Sunday morning entertainment, but it's good, clean fun. Mama, ain't nobody drinking no beer, smoking no dope, and they ain't telling very many dirty jokes. You're doing good. Y'all done married each other's kids, now you're going to bury each other's spouses. Y'all already know who's the best at making green beans and who makes the best German chocolate cake. Y'all are buddies. Don't quit. I said, biblically, it's a sewer, but it's good, clean Sunday morning entertainment. You got good friends. So I said, you both are retired. I said, you think you could do something? I'm going to make a suggestion. You think you could do something? Do you think you and Mom could just get up every morning and read your Bible together for just a minute? Pray together every day? Just you and her. You think you could do that? Yep. I said, that's good enough. So keep doing your funerals, your weddings, your stuff, and read your Bible. Pray a little bit together. That's how my dad found Jesus. You see, somewhere in here, somebody's got to go first. Somebody's got to be the middle, because somebody's coming next. And whether you believe it or not, there's more riding on how you do this than not. And he says right here as I finish up, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through one Adam, death came. Through one man, Jesus, life's been given back. Lives can be redeemed. We don't have to live condemned. We can live justified. We can live sanctified. Some of you in this room here have been called to go first. You're the first one in your family. You're the first one in your workplace. You've prayed about it. You've agonized. You didn't know how to stick your toe in the water, and God's nudged you along till you took a stab at it. You took a stab at it here and there. Some of you are really blessed because you had somebody that went before you. Let me tell you, the first time they put me to auctioneering a professional horse sale in 1984, and I sold my first horses at 24 years old, I was dumber than that chair right there. And I stayed that way for a long time. And for some odd reason, they just kept giving me a job. And then I got around some guys, one of them being Don Green. And I watched his every move. For 25 years, I asked him questions. I spent time. I didn't leave. And when it was time for him to go, there was somebody standing there. It's what I love about Curtis. You know, being old Curtis, I've been wearing him out for about 15 years now, 10 years, however long it is. And there's some days I wear him smooth out. I don't cut that big bugger no slack. You know what? If I don't make it back in the morning, you won't need no Rolodex. You won't have to go dial up a preacher.com. And there's many more of you standing around here, been watching, been listening. You've heard some of the crazy things I say, and you go to your Bible and you read it for yourself, and you go home and you try it out, and the next thing you know, you're trying to work up the nerve to tell somebody, to give a testimony, or to share with somebody some little tidbit of wisdom to your kids and your family. That's the hardest. Y'all do know that, don't you? The ones right there in your house are the hardest sometimes. You just pray like crazy and you look for any little open door. Don't quit praying and don't quit looking. I thought a bunch of horse traders would be absolutely impossible. 30 years later, I was wrong. 30 years later, I was wrong. There's a lot of men out there we love that are truly enjoying the fact that Jesus is helping them live their life to the full. That's awesome. Because now there's some, and I could name them to you right now, that in their life I was first, and they're the middle, and there's some coming next. If sin is so easily spread, why is the grace of God such a rarity outside these walls? One man. He's the man in the middle. That's all I got tonight. I hope somebody got something to go on tonight out of all that little doings right there. Very appreciative of how the Lord will make things happen. He's just so faithful. I was doing the obituary tomorrow for Jim Daniels' funeral. Said bring a scripture and say a word. And God's so faithful. I said, what do you want me to say about Jim? Because Rob said, what are you going to say? I said, not much. It's pretty easy when you're the salt of the earth. It's not hard. Man, when you know how God thinks about somebody, isn't that cool? Well, one of these days, I hope y'all know what God thinks about you. You'll be in a lot better mood than you was yesterday. He loves snot out of you. So let's pray and we'll quit. Lord, I just want to thank you again. Lord, just bless everybody sitting here and everybody's listening on the other side. And Lord, we are a truly blessed people and we're truly thankful. Help us, Lord, to walk in wisdom, to walk in the power of your grace, to be the first or be the middle. Let us not ever be the dead end. Let us not be the place where your grace stops. And Lord, you work through us, that it doesn't end with us. It's not about us. So tonight, Lord, we just give you praise and glory. Continue to bless this great United States of America. Continue to give Mr. Trump all the wisdom necessary to pull it off. Continue to reveal the enemies of truth. Continue to bless the righteous in the land. And Lord, may all the glory and all the honor be yours, Jesus. Watch over the Daniel family, Lord, as they got a lot going on. We continue to pray for Summer and a healing touch for her. I pray that you'll just gather Lynn up and hold her in your arms, Lord, because this is really hard. Tonight, Lord, I pray for Stephen, Michelle Stone, and their whole family. That God, that you are healing Stephen's body, that the graft has worked well and it all coming together good. And we continue to pray. Show us what to do, Lord, as a storehouse and a generous people to meet the needs of those who have needs. So tonight we love you, Lord, and we tell you thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.